He could do it.
Right.
My man could have done it.
He should have done it from Jump Street.
But see, the thing, he's also married, so that's why he didn't, because it's a whole, you know, that toe the thin line. But I really don't think his wife knew. But I don't like to really talk about speculation. We don't know whether she knew or not.
She said it in the what's her name? She said she did,
but we don't know whether she knew or not.
Come on.
She might have found something early on.
Right, exactly.
It's a lot of women and men that stand with their cheating spouses.
That might have been
the man of her dreams. They have children together.
Yeah,
they have a life built together. She might have seen something and suspected something, but she had to weigh her options. Do I divorce him and go back to obscurity, or do I ride this political train to the top?
Yeah. It's raining.
I know you can't resist that.
I'm sorry, you said political train. He got that.
I did. Allegedly. So, I mean, I find this very interesting, Tripp Simpson, right? Because we talk about this all the time on the show, who your favorite politician is, right? Uh-huh. And you routinely say Marion Barry, right? Uh-huh. I'm a firm believer of, if a politician is doing what he has to do for his city, his people, you know what I'm saying? What they do in their personal life is their personal business, right? Mm-hmm. It's the same reason Andrew Gillum will be able to get back into politics is the same reason Marion Barry was able to get back in politics and win the mayorship of D.C. after getting caught smoking crack with a prostitute. Because what he did, quote-unquote transgressions or quote-unquote morally wrong, depending on who's looking at it, doesn't mean shit when it comes down to what policies did you advance, how do people respect you. So I'm not sure if you're familiar with Andrew Gillum's actual political record. The reason why he rose so fast.
I'm definitely
he rose so fast in the Democratic Party, like, he put in work in the state of Florida, right? So one thing Republicans or his detractors
said, he
put in work in the state of Florida.
Yeah.
He was the mayor of Tallahassee.
Yeah.
Okay. He was the mayor of Tallahassee. That's it. He didn't put no fucking work. He put in work in Tallahassee. But
He was the mayor of Tallahassee. Your favorite representative or your favorite politician was the mayor in D.C. They was both mayors.
Okay. Hear me out. His record in Tallahassee isn't all that great with black people. The reason why he's rose to the top of the Democratic Party in Florida is because of his white-leaning liberal policies.
So what do you feel like his transgressions were in Florida?
I want to ask, though, real quick, what's the point in making that statement? Because it didn't have to be with black people for him to win.
No. Well, okay. First and foremost, let me lay this groundwork down for you guys right now. My measure on every politician pertains to what they do for my community.
I feel you.
So I don't give a shit what he did for anybody else. If he's not doing anything for my community, then he's an enemy to me.
What do you feel like he did negatively for black people in Tallahassee?
Let's just look at Tallahassee for what it is right now, and let's look at the state of black people in Tallahassee.
That's not what I asked you. I don't want to see that Republican shuck and jive.
Instead of shuck and fucking jive.
What do you feel like he did negatively for black people in the state of in the city of Tallahassee, Florida?
Look up the median household income.
No.
For
so
black people.
The mayor does
in
not
Tallahassee,
the
Florida.
Mayor the mayor of a city has very little effect on the median income of a place. It's so many factors that go into median income. We have a very educated listening audience to Straight Talk No Chase, so we don't even have to go in that far. But if you're going to shit on somebody and say what they didn't do, you have to be able to name a policy negative affected black people. So if you can't name a policy that negatively affected black people, I don't really want to hear that shit. So
can you name a policy that positively affected black
people? Let's talk about
You can't.
You didn't even let me talk about it. So we can talk
you
about
it. You asked me a question. I answered it. I don't know one.
And then you cut me
do
off.
You know one.
You cut me off when I found the answer.
Ding, 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 ding.
So we can go back. We can go back from Andrew Gillum's work with the Democratic Party registering people to vote, and this is the classic Republican thing they do. Once I start laying out the case for why he put work in, it's like, oh my god. So
You gonna let me do it or you gonna interrupt?
I mean, I'm gonna interrupt.
You gonna let me do it?
Mary
you...
American Strap.
I mean, I'm interrupt.
Shout out to Yes I Am Lily.
Yeah.
She put it point blank. Mary and Barry made black billionaires. He made the richest black county in the entire United States as an offspring of Mary and Barry's policy.
So Mary and Barry was in a unique position in Washington, D.C., that you had an opportunity to give out district and federal government jobs. In no other city...
He didn't give out federal government jobs.
Well, he put people in position to get to federal government jobs because the entry to federal government jobs at that time was D.C. government jobs.
That's not true. That's not true at all.
Why wasn't it?
District government jobs paid damn near just as well as federal government jobs.
I agree with
you, Mary and Barry.
But I agree with you. But at the same time, it was still the people who wanted to get to the federal level, like get into FEMA, get into HUD, DOD. If you had government experience, you had preference over people who did not.
Right. The federal government works today like it's always worked.
So
I got to know somebody to get in.
So do you?
Damn near half my family works for the federal government.
Do you or do you not get preference if you worked in district government first?
Maybe.
Yes, you do.
I don't know.
You do.
I don't know. I don't know that.
You do. You absolutely do. I do know.
So how about this? I know.
You know why?
Because
my twin uncles worked for they started in D.C. Then they went to the Federal Park Service. Right. And they got preference because they started in D.C. government. Anytime you're in government and government agents are related, you put down government experience in general, you're going to get preference. But if you talk about D.C. to federal, you get preference.
OK,
so he opened up the door for people to get in district government and federal government. Like you said, I agree with you that the D.C. jobs and to this day, D.C. government jobs are rivaling federal government jobs in the pay scale. And some of the top 10 positions, they get paid more.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, they get paid more.
I think the D.C. government is here. The federal government is here. I mean, it's safe to say that with or without Mary and Barry.
Yeah.
You could have made those relations with the D.C. government and the federal government. But what I'm saying is the things that Mary and Barry put in place
for
district
residents. The black community and district residents.
Still sets us, even though it's nothing to brag about because our condition in this country is in dire need of assistance. However, it still puts us in that top tier of economies where black people can actually
thrive. Y'all are smart, politically savvy people. Are y'all comparing Washington D.C. to Tallahassee, Florida,
with a straight face, you compared him to Mary and Barry.
No, I just made the juxtaposition of somebody's their personal life not affecting your opinion, because Mary and Barry smoked crack with a prostitute. You said Andrew Gillum gangbang with meth. Is crack more notable or noble drug than meth?
Yes.
Guys, just say another drug.
They both use hard drugs and they both gonna be back in the just like.
But I feel like the relevant conversation here is Marion Barry was a mayor. He smoked crack. He got back to being a mayor.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew Gillum was the mayor. He did what he did. Will he go back to being a mayor, or will he actually get what his next step was, or what his next level was, or any of that? Because that's what we talk about. Because if he's just a mayor, we don't even care that he's just a mayor. He can be the mayor of Tallahassee all day. Will we know his name?
Well, no. He almost became the governor.
He ran and did it. He lost and then did it. So
but not for
to
not,
lose and do it. You're just gonna be a loser that continues to do it, or lost and did it, whatever you.
I mean, but he ran on family values.
Yeah,
so.
Not but
that
not
was his.
Every politician runs on family values. What politician runs on?
Donald Trump.
Hey, I'm in the club.
Donald Trump.
Smoking my. I'm in the club on meth.
That's why I don't like politicians.
So what are we talking about?
Because they run on family values.
What politician doesn't run on family? Donald Trump runs on family values, and he had 5 wives, paid off a prostitute, talks dirty about his own daughter and his friends with Epstein, but he still gets run on family values. So what are we talking? Every politician, it don't matter how dirty you are, they ain't like, I'm for the family. That shit doesn't matter. That's not nothing to argue.
All I'm saying is the nigga's trash, man. I mean,
so I think if we put his record up,
I can't
So we didn't get a chance to get into his whole record. I'm not gonna lay the whole thing out. I challenge you guys, look up Andrew Gillum's accomplishments as a mayor and look up his actual platform when he was running for governor, not for voter suppression in the state of Florida. He would have won. Disenfranchising felons, disenfranchising certain communities with voter suppression. Andrew Gillum would have won. He was definitely the better candidate than DeSantos. DeSantos,
he would have, he lost.
DeSantos
would have won. He lost.
I mean, I said if not for voter suppression, that's a very important.
I don't know about that.
I do know about it. So
I mean, see, one thing about the state of Florida is everybody gets the Latino vote extremely fucked up. Latinos vote Republican in the state of Florida, and they are pretty much the majority next to white people in the state of Florida, and they vote Republican for the most part. So, I mean,
that's what I'm saying. So that's why the Republican strategy is to disenfranchise black people.
That and actually, still only lost by
I'll go one up even further. Like, a lot of quote-unquote people of color in the state of Florida vote Republican because Floridians are dead set on their gun rights.
No, that's not a fact.
That's a fact.
It's not a fact. Okay. I challenge everybody to really look up the statistics of that last election. That is not a fact. So
right,
we're going
to
look
pretend
at
that. We have a caller, right? So my girl, she went to Florida State and she says he raised the minimum wage and pushed for better and safer government housing. He also worked with the Dream Defenders against mass incarceration and changing minimum sentences in Florida. And the things that would have gotten rid of this.
Was that what he was running on? Because he, how can he change the minimums in Florida when he wasn't on
governor? He ran on. I'm just answering your question.
Oh, that's what he ran on.
In the city of Tallahassee.
Okay, so the mayor
has an effect on.
No. She just said in the state of Florida. She didn't say in the city of Tallahassee.
Nah, she wasn't saying the state of Florida. She was saying, she changed the minimum sentences. Is what he was working with.
Okay, so. What was he trying to do specifically for black Americans in the state of Florida?
I mean, raising minimum wage is important because most
But everybody gets a raise when minimum wage is raised.
But it also
everybody gets a raise.
Proportionately affects black people.
It doesn't. So
hold on. If Andrew Gillum didn't have a reparations bill, he's going to shit on everything we say after that. So there's really no point in us talking about that.
So Andrew Gillum's
constituency is black people in the state of Florida.
But there's plenty of poor white people and poor Hispanics in Florida.
No black person. So let's talk about local politics, right? Local politics, unlike any politics, mayor, council, state representative, is strongly divided on racial lines. So if you're not doing anything for black people, you will never win the mayorship in a place like that. Ever. So that's why DC has
Ferguson, Missouri is 70% black.
And
look who runs Ferguson, Missouri.
But is any black people running in a significant way?
I don't know if there's anybody running. I'm just telling you. If you just said you're not gonna win in a black city if you're not doing other black.
Is the mayor of
Ferguson? What you just said.
Is the mayor of Ferguson white?
Yes.
I gotta look into that.
I don't really know.
I gotta look into that.
First of all, let me correct you, Kirk. I didn't make an argument like I knew what color the mayor was. He made a statement.
Why did you say this 70%? Because you said white people run it just because Darren Wilson ain't get.
Pump your brakes. He said. Mm-hmm. Why would black people vote for someone in a black town that didn't do anything for black people? And I said, look at Ferguson, Missouri. There's a lot of other things going on with black people in Ferguson, Missouri.
And I'm saying that anybody even black runs.
I mean, I would say that's one instance. That's one example.
I don't know if there's a correlation there, though.
That's giving me apples
because,
and oranges.
What are black people getting from the government in Ferguson?
Because in the same sense, you could say the same thing about right here, where police get off and killing black people often in D.C., and there's a black mayor, and she supposedly don't do nothing for black people, and she's still here. And before that,
exactly.
Who did,
so
though.
That just goes to my point.
I know what I'm saying.
People get elected in black towns all the time who don't do shit for black people.
But people do as well, is what I'm saying. I think it goes both ways.
I mean,
wasn't anti his point either, is what I'm saying. But
I haven't seen one since Mary Berry.
But she is a black person. The mayor currently is.
I find it.
I haven't seen one.
Ferguson mayor is a black Democratic woman.
Those are the worst.
You continue to crash and burn on this podcast, sir.
Especially, listen, especially. Especially if she hates her dad. Oh my God.
He's gonna end up
prison rates going
he's gonna
through
end
the
up,
roof.
He's gonna end up deleting this episode. I feel it.
No, I'm chilling.
You on strike two already?
Wait. No.
I'm chilling.
What about Ferguson, Missouri? Yeah, I'm saying it's a black.
I'm like, why did he shut this out? What I'm saying, okay, so the mayor of Ferguson, Missouri, and then
a do nothing
mayor.
Oh, that's the do nothing mayor.
Andrew Gillum, do nothing mayor.
When
loser.
When he didn't know anything about his
gubernatorial loser.
Nothing about his record. You giving me Sean Hannity vibes today. He's Trip Hannity today. Sometimes he has these episodes. Let's go to the next topic.
I mean, no, the funny thing is, though, I mean, you don't really know much about this guy's record either. You can't really tell me anything that he's done specific for us.
I tried to, but you gave me the Republican filibuster.
No. My point is, when it comes to the black community.
What's your point?
I want to get this straight. When it comes to the black community,
yeah.
My issue is that we deserve a leg up over others because of the work that we've already put in as a group.
Yeah.
Okay? So when you're talking about policies that give everybody a leg up,
yeah.
It doesn't do anything because we're already on the bottom. So if you're already on the bottom and everybody gets a leg up, you're just on the bottom of the leg up. You're on the fucking heel of the leg. It doesn't do anything.
So his girlfriend talked about those policies. I didn't talk about those policies.
Yeah, I even understand what you're saying. All I'm saying is we talking about this man coming out. We're not really talking about his policies right now. And so it wasn't specifically for black people that I was having a conversation about. I'm talking about this man coming out. And you also highlighted his black policies, which I get because that's your man.
Well, I mean, I was challenged.
This is a black policy.
I was challenged in that way. Like, I didn't start getting at his record until I was challenged on it.
And you didn't know anything about his record.
I don't think you do either.
I definitely do. Because when I started talking about his record, I was like, you going to interrupt? He said, yes, I am. We can run the day back. Remember, this is recording.
I'm going to get back from last week. Fuck
what happened last week?
You got 14 Birch right there? But now, all right, let's go to the next topic, man. All right, well, we got Joe Budden.
Yeah.
We got Joe Budden. Spazzes off on Charlemagne the God once again. Maria, I want to start with you.
Okay, so.
Oh, hold up, real quick. One of around all 10 people watching right now. The phone number is 914-205-5425. 914-205-5425. Call in, put your 2 cents in. Also, don't forget to like and share this video. Remember, we are also on YouTube. That's Straight Talk No Chase. Excuse me, that's Straight Talk, comma, No Chase podcast on YouTube, as well as live on Facebook. Maria.
All right. So, Joe Budden's been in the, you know, in the news lately. Not, you know, real news, but entertainment news. So, apparently, the whole feud between him and Charlemagne has been going on. Well, not feud, but whoa.
My bad. Keep talking.
The whole thing with Charlemagne got I'm sorry, y'all. I just got.
Bro, you could say that on camera.
I already know, but it was pointless because I didn't want to interrupt her.
No, okay.
But I interrupted you anyway.
No,
I was going to get pouring up without you talk. I wanted you to keep talking. I didn't want to have to interrupt you. Say I'm about to pour up. That's all it was.
Okay.
Gold reserve.
I don't know. It was so fancy. I wanted to see.
Charlemagne basically came back after Joe Budden killed him the last time of him saying that, you know, he don't know how to negotiate contracts or whatever. Basically came back that he is starting a network with iHeart, and it's supposed to be the Black Podcast Network for Black podcasters. And Charlemagne is basically gloating as if like he owns it. He, negotiating the deal. However, Joe Budden came back and really like when I say he killed him. He basically went into depth as far as Charlamagne sounding silly, looking silly about information about a situation that he don't even own. And the fact that he's sitting up there trying to go back and forth with Joe Budden is silly.
Well, I think it's also
go ahead.
I think it's also important to note why he was so upset, because he already did this once before. But what I think was very, very petty of Charlamagne was to try to, and I do believe Joe Budden. I think that iHeartRadio and Charlamagne the God put together that smear campaign against Joe Budden. Because the very next day after the first rant, now you got his ex-girlfriend on another iHeartRadio show talking about he beat me 20 years ago, or however long ago it was. Then you coming up with this chick and that chick, all of a sudden come out the woodworks talking about he's beating women. And none of this stuff can be proven, and none of this stuff really sounds true to me.
Is he second?
Right. Second, you bring out a video. You show a clip of him joking about jerking off a dog, which is a bad joke, but it's a joke.
Right.
You bring out a joke about him jerking off a dog. The whole time, you got jokes, or it didn't sound like a joke to me, but you have clips of you talking about you let your dog lick your nuts. So I don't know. I don't understand Charlamagne's angle here, but it's looking real we sick bossish. It's looking real we sick boss.
And that's the point that I feel like Joe Budden was really making, was that instead of him trying to compete with him, like collectively, like come together, like, you know, like do that versus trying to fight each other, because that's what they want. And I felt like, if y'all didn't see the clip, please watch it. Just look it up. Yeah, it's too long for us to show it.
I find it interesting. I haven't seen the Charlamagne pieces necessarily, but I find it interesting that I think Charlamagne's giving them real short clips while he's giving these whole full-on rants. And that's the only reason why I was saying earlier that I think Joe Budden's playing games with it. Like, it's playing games, not from a sense of he is not telling the truth. He's telling 100% the truth, and he's giving it from a perspective of ownership, not necessarily a worker. But at the same time, the amount of attention that he's giving it is the new way of cutting out the middleman. He knows how much he's worth, and he recognizes his value, and so he's giving all of this back and forth because it's also drawing attention and causing conversations like this one, and getting people to actually focus on not just his rivalry with Charlamagne, but him in general, so that they're able to make these moves. It's like, if I used to have to get promo on Love & Hip Hop to get the attention and viewership that I get on all of the other shows, now I can cut that out by just being the entertainment in and of itself. And that's what I feel like he's doing, and it's drawing more attention to his podcast, and it's making his podcast even more valuable than it already was when it was a Spotify exclusive. So, I mean, he's killing two birds with one stone and taking this approach.
I disagree. I don't think so. If anybody knows and seen, like, watch Joe's podcast from day one, he's always been like that. Lengthy, ranty, like, it's raining, man.
You say lengthy?
Anyway, like, he's always been like that.
That would be a more that's what she said moment.
Right. That's all we have.
We need to add that. That's what she said.
But I feel like it's more so not necessarily him trying to gain views or anything like that, but sending a message like, dog, first of all, you're not going to, you know, slander my name or slander what it is that I'm really trying to do. I see what you're trying to do, and I'm just being honest and speaking the truth. And I feel like Joe's always been like that, so that's why I kind of like disagree to where you say that he like playing.
Yeah, I think you're both right. I mean, I don't even necessarily think Kirk is disagreeing with you. I think he's just saying that he's monetizing off this beat because he knows people want to see his response. Now, Kirk, you are wrong, because Charlamagne is definitely spending time on this.
That's what I was saying. I ain't seen it to know how long he's
on his show, Brilliant Idiots. Him and I think this is what pissed off Joe even more.
Just how long they went into it. Dude, it was a white man.
Oh my God.
It was a white man. He ain't like that.
Yeah, that
he wouldn't even say the Indian dude's name for the record.
He kept calling him Adam.
Adam is at Schultz, Andrew Schultz. And he was misquoting his name, but then he also wouldn't even say the Indian dude's name. He's just like, and a little Indian dude. Like, that's all he would say the entire time.
Dude. Does anybody even like, know his name?
No, I don't. And that's why I recognize he wasn't saying it.
I don't. Charlamagne's not funny to me, and I hate Andrew Schultz's guts.
Shout out to the brilliant idiot.
I mess with Charlamagne, but I don't think Andrew's funny at all, and I don't really want to watch.
Yeah,
him.
Andrew.
That's why I don't pay attention to the podcast.
I could take it or leave with Andrew. Charlamagne. I was appreciating Charlamagne's growth and trajectory over the last.
I'm not even gonna do it.
Because at that point,
he was
just
gonna run
childish.
That joint out today, right. But it was a good one. It would have
been.
This podcast is devolving quickly. I can appreciate, you know, his growth over the past 10 years, but at the same time, just when I think he's turning the corner, something like this happens. It's like, damn, like, I feel like Tyra Banks, but I was rooting for you. Like, the book was cool. I appreciated the book. I appreciate actually both of his books.
I appreciate his books.
I appreciate it.
Especially Black Privilege.
I appreciate him advocating for mental health for Black people, which we definitely need. And I appreciate that, right? But certain moves start look funny when the light is shined on it. Look funny in the light, because if you're on this whole Black excellence tip, if you on this whole It's For Us movement, rule number one, you don't criticize your brother in public.
You're on a public platform, you know what I'm saying?
Where like Joe says, that you work at, he's the boss of his shit, and you're criticizing these things. Like, it's so many things to talk about where you don't have to talk about this situation. And I think Joe was right when he says Charlamagne feels it's a competition when they're not on the same playing field.
Right.
I talk to my friends all the time about living an entrepreneurial life, right? It's a different type of lifestyle. Like, every conversation, every meeting, everything you thinking, is it a potential sale or not? Is it going to further you or is it going to take you backwards? Versus when you are hired by somebody, you go to work, you clock in, you clock out. Everything after that is your time, your fun, your business, whatever. As an entrepreneur, all time is business time. Any serious entrepreneur will tell you that every bar meeting, every outing is a chance to sell whatever you're selling. It's a chance to do whatever you do. So having conversations with people who don't live that lifestyle, they don't even understand. They're not even on the same playing field. They're not even in the same mind frame. Like, my friends be like, damn, bro, do you ever stop working? No, because I work for myself. Mm-hmm. I can't. Ain't no check coming if I just sit on the couch.
Right.
Ain't no check coming if I don't put the work in. Right? So, people not in the lifestyle don't understand that. Which baffles me about Charlamagne, because, you know, you did write a book. You have your intellectual property. You're making money from that. You do got your own podcast. You're making money from.
He doesn't have his own podcast.
Brilliant idiot. That's not his shit?
Nah.
Oh, damn. Well, you participate.
I honestly would assume that same thing, because out of all the people he could have chose to do a podcast with, you wouldn't choose to do it with Andrew Schultz if it was your thing. He cool with him, but dang.
I mean, it's iHeart.
Right.
It's clear.
So, Brilliant Idiots is iHeart too? Mm-hmm. Okay, I didn't know that. See, I did that. I said I just didn't know.
Yeah, I know, right? You can do that all the time. It's so easy to do that.
So easy, just be like, I don't know.
I said I don't know today.
He did say he didn't know who Ferguson Mayer was.
After being pressed for five minutes.
Listen, I also told you I don't know Gilliam's problem. I don't know. You're right.
He's like, I do know who. I don't.
I just know they trash for Black people.
Yeah.
Proof is in the pudding.
So I think everybody who's examining this argument, like, you got to put your lenses on, right? From a boss and a worker. And Charlamagne is a phenomenal worker. a phenomenal worker. If I could trade places with him tomorrow, I would. Shout out to him. Right? But he may not know the same struggle that I have working for myself for the last 5 years. He's been employed for the last 10 years. Right? Not to say you don't got hustle, not to say you don't have grind, but it's different when you own your intellectual property, right? And you're not clocking in every day. He got to be at the radio station every day at 7 a.m., rain, sleet, snow or shine, less a vacation day, right? So, you know,
I mean,
he may not understand Joe Budden's perspective.
Joe and them show up when they want.
Yeah.
Twice a week. So, I mean, yeah, I agree. I mean, I think what's the worst part of this whole thing is the fact that he's bringing out this black wing of iHeartRadio, right? And as Joe referred to it, BET for iHeartRadio.
That was classy.
And it just goes to show you, man, like how much further a lot of us are thinking now. Because 10 years ago, we looked at something like that, like progress. But at this point, we can see it for what it is. Yeah, okay, you have a bunch of black people that's going to be
perspective right there.
That's going to be a bunch of black people on TV who have their own content, who are making a little money from iHeart. But at the same time, iHeart's still standing there like this.
Owning your content.
Don't say that shit, nigga.
Oh, no. You can't say that. Oh, no. You can't say this. Oh, no. He's my friend. You can't say that. You know what I mean? So it's not really black. It's just
Joe had it. But Joe had a great point. At the time when you have maximum leverage, Charlamagne and the Breakfast Club, at no other time will you have this amount of leverage to do your own thing and take all the support away from these networks and corporations and make your own shit. It is the like, you don't need them to distribute anything. Like, it's enough money in that room between Charlamagne and Envy to build any infrastructure they need to distribute any content that they need.
Ever wanted to create again.
Yeah. And then you like, make literally. The content and then you license it to the other people. You right. don't give your shit away. Like they,
doing.
But they didn't. And if it wasn't other people doing it, we could say, well, maybe this just doesn't exist. Rogan did it.
I wonder how.
But all, like, these people, they licensing their content.
I wonder how Angela Yee and DJ Envy
feel about it. Right.
You know what I mean? Because they started the Breakfast Club with him, and now it's Charlamagne owns 50%. Like, I don't know.
I mean, he's better than on the mic, so.
Yeah, I think they recognize that he really gets. They get that show gets the attention that it gets because of him, for real. It's not the two of them.
That's
nobody
folded.
Nobody pays
on
attention
it.
To lip service.
But, I mean, I guess you're right. I mean,
nobody
DJ,
paid attention to Envy on Hot 99.5 the last half many years.
DJ Envy don't give a fuck anyway.
If it wasn't for me, nobody wouldn't tune in to Straight Talk. It was not about.
Well, you can take these 10 motherfuckers with you. Not the door.
I've been kicked off better podcasts than this. But real talk, the writers on the wall, they know, like, they ain't interviewing Oprah, they ain't with Kanye, like, they ain't getting the type of interviews he's getting outside of the Breakfast Club and the type of looks he's getting. So they, you know, they know who the star of the show is, which is no problem. Like, everybody play your role and everybody get paid. You feel me? So I think they were in it to just do a job.
It's
and
a
now
reason.
They and now they're making probably 7 figures. From a job they never expected.
So for perspective's sake, it's a reason why Ye ain't left yet after like Gucci Mane went on both of them.
Yeah.
On Charlamagne's interview. You know what I'm saying? Stuff like that is clear. Like that interview, after that interview, it was like they either are really like
getting paid.
They either getting paid enough that they want to keep doing this after they hear what Gucci Mane's saying, or they are mad enough at they man that they like, yeah, we not even going to mess with you because you shouldn't even have took an interview like this knowing that we already beefing with him and that's why you had to do this solo anyway. But he went in it already knowing probably no matter what he says,
it was
I got
a great
my
interview.
Partnership.
It was a great interview.
It was. It did what it was supposed to do. And that's the thing. Content, all of this stuff is made for people to view it. If you're going to get something that's going to get somebody to view it, that's more money in your pocket. All of this is done about money.
I noticed that about the Breakfast Club, though.
they be in their feelings like shit.
Yeah,
shows
they be
like,
beefing. I'm sure they beefing.
DJ Envy, like, when Chris Rock was on there, he was like, oh, I ain't showing up because I don't like Chris Rock. I'm like,
I mean, too much light skin energy, Trip.
Bro, if we work together.
Hey, look, I ain't light skin.
Look. Prime example. We worked together 3.5 years, and we had a lot of emotional moments on here.
Yeah, but that's not the problem.
So think about it. If they work 10 years together, and they work every day. We do twice a week. And back then, once a week. Every day.
They ain't going nowhere.
5 days a week for 10 years.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they know what
they
just
got.
Walking the studio lamp.
They know
what
they got.
Motherfucker today. Fuck are you looking at? Fuck.
I don't know. Me personally, I'm not an emotional person like that, so I don't just walk in a room like, oh, I'm tired of looking at you.
I don't know. You've got pretty emotional on this podcast before.
It's a podcast.
He gets really flustered. He gets flustered.
It's a podcast.
What's the difference?
Get a little flustered.
What people want to see.
Get a little sweaty over there.
Yeah,
get,
man.
Andrew, girl, I'm in the bus.
Everybody can't sit back like Kirk chilling.
Why not? Like, hey, you're right.
It's got to be one nigga like that.
You're
one
not
nigga
cool
like
enough.
We all can't be cool in the back like, nigga, you talk first.
I'm like, hey, I hear what you talking about. I hear what you talking about.
Hey, look,
I like some of both of them. I disagree with some of both of them. I feel you. We're going to chill out, though.
But nah, man, what else we got in the news, man? Anybody see this article about 32% of Americans, only 32% of Americans say they would actually take a coronavirus vaccine?
Because the Americans are also smarting it up.
Yeah, well, it's funny because the article blames on Trump.
So if
the article blames on Trump.
So if, I think if this poll was taken,
it might be Trump.
Maybe 2 to 3 months ago, before so much was revealed about what's true or wasn't true or how it spreads. And like we have almost like a scientific understanding on how the coronavirus works. I think it would have been different because most people understand now, all right, I may be asymptomatic. I don't have pre-existing conditions, so I'm not as susceptible. I think if they dug into that story, or dug into that poll and they say, well, you got pre-existing conditions, will you take the vaccine? Most people are like, hell yeah. If you got heart problems, you got, like me, if you got asthma, if you got things that if you catch it, you'd be taking the fuck out.
So you would take the vaccine?
Yes, I would.
Okay. I wouldn't take it either.
I think 2-3 months ago, and I think right now the same answers would happen. I agree with you a little bit though that the answers have changed some with more time, but I think so because with more time came more people stepping out into these streets and realizing that, everybody's tripping. It's something going on, but it ain't going on what we think is going on, and so we can be out here and be safe. And so as long as people are out here safe, they're like, what am I taking a vaccine for? Because I've already experienced the real world, and look, I'm still here. So I think that's what's kind of keeping people away more so than...
But then,
I do think it's the time, like you said, but I don't think it's the reason behind the time.
But then it will fly in the face of why so many people take the flu vaccine every year, right?
No,
like,
I don't.
Yeah,
I think people tripping.
I didn't say y'all did, but
yeah,
I think the amount of people who take the flu vaccine, because has anybody caught the flu in here?
I never caught the flu.
I caught it the 1 year I took the vaccine.
It's no fucking joke. Like, you're fucked up when you catch the flu. Like, you lose a week of your life, like... You're fucked up most times when you catch the flu. So most people who've actually caught the flu, like, they're like, I'll take it because they've been through the fire. They've been through the pain. People who never caught the flu, like, why the fuck would I do that? Like, until you catch the flu, you're like, oh, I don't want to go through that again. Like, so.
But the nigga took the shot and caught the flu.
That's why I would never do it again. I haven't done it since.
And you take
it was one random year I was working in corporate America, giving you the flu shot for free. I'm like, all right,
I don't
want give me that.
Free.
I broke that joint.
But you can't say 100. You can't say 100%.
That did it. But you can.
You can't say 100%.
The only year I've ever taken the flu shot.
But you can't say 100% that because you took it that year, that's because you caught the flu.
Right, it's not 100%.
You could have kissed the girl that year. You was at the club.
Like
at the end of the night, you smooshed her at the end of the club.
So what you take the shot
for? The flu.
But coincidence tells me that
she had the super strength. That you know, it's the thought strain of the flu, right?
Jesus.
It's called thought flu.
Coincidence tells me.
But just in general, I think if you dig into the numbers of that poll, you might find some different numbers. And then if it was on the heels of Donald Trump, the story coming out that he knew that how deadly the vaccine was, deadly the coronavirus was.
But telling
people that, you know, don't worry about it. But in private, he was having different conversations. After you hear that, why would you trust the government? Why would you trust anything that they put out to take a coronavirus vaccine?
Poll. Number of Americans willing to get COVID-19 vaccine falls to new low amid fears Trump is putting politics before safety.
Well, he is.
I don't understand how that makes sense, though.
Do you dispute he's putting politics before safety?
Oh, he's definitely putting politics before safety.
Okay. So it's like...
Well, what I'm saying is...
I think
I don't think that has anything to do with people not wanting the vaccine. You know
I mean, think about this, right?
I think people don't want the vaccine and they need somebody to blame it on.
I think if he put politics ahead of safety and you thought that was the case, it would make you want the vaccine more. That's why I feel what you're saying. Because it's like, all right, we got a breakfast president out here who he knows who has a virus that can kill us out here. And he's not doing enough about us to stop it. So maybe I need to take this vaccine because that's going to help stop it versus I don't need to take this vaccine because, or are you saying whatever presidential power is in place is automatically
the
government?
I ain't taking shit before the November election because whatever the fuck comes out before November. Clorox, sunlight. Nigga, he throwing shit at the wall.
Whatever sticks,
throwing all shit at the wall and see whatever sticks to get elected. So I don't blame people for like, nah. If they come out with a vaccine February 1st, I'll trust it more than if it came out November 25th, November 24th. Yeah. I'll just say that.
That's what's up. All right, so look, oh, forgot about this, man. Just want to reiterate on a popular idea that I bring on the show sometimes about listening to rappers and entertainers.
Yeah.
Did you guys see this shit about T.I.?
Did you listen to 3-6 this week?
No, I did not.
Okay.
What 3-6 do this week?
No,
he always listens to 3-6. His week, and his car all week, and then he comes on here and talks about.
Does anybody remember the Bone Thugs and Harmony and 3-6 versus that was supposed to happen, and then versus said they were going to take it over so that it could happen, and then it never happened?
That would have been lit.
Yeah, it was about to be good. It was going to happen, and literally a couple hours before it was like ready to go, versus stepped in and was like, they probably couldn't pay
DJ Paul and.
I just don't like it.
Juicy J enough.
Because that was the best one.
Bone kind of fell off.
I know so.
They would have wiped the floor. They would have wiped the floor with Bone Thugs.
After it didn't happen, DJ Paul went and had a 2-hour 3-6 set that went crazy by itself. So imagine adding some Bone Thugs songs in there.
Yeah, he would have murdered.
They probably didn't have enough money for him.
When I say listening to rappers, I wouldn't talk about listening to music. I'm talking about listening to these fools politically.
Clarify yourself.
So, T.I.,
oh, yeah.
Mr. Reparations tip. Should be getting loans from the Lloyds of London. Mr. T.I.
is tip to you.
I don't know them officers. Y'all remember when he said that?
I
don't know them officers.
Said the 14 bricks.
You got 14 bricks right there?
But look,
put you up, eh?
Yeah, man, but look, man, once we get my
fuck
back, man, we write the fuck back on, baby. We write the fuck back on once I get sunny. It's gonna be
So T.I., okay, T.I. is in hot water with the SEC right now. And no, that doesn't mean the Southern Eastern Conference of the NCAA. He doesn't have beef with the Florida Gators. No, T.I. is in hot water with the federal government, Securities Exchange Commission. So, T.I. was apparently promoting a Bitcoin, cryptocurrency company that was about to introduce a new coin. So, T.I. was apparently telling people that he was part owner. We hear that a lot, don't we?
Sounds like Fyre Festival.
That would be what he was part on.
That was like Charlamagne the guy that I heard.
And pumping people to buy to on his Twitter and Instagram page to buy this coin. Come to find out, it was a fraudulent coin. And now the SEC has lost an investigation. I think most recently, he ended up settling for $75,000.
And 5 years off of trading
right
coin.
Right. But the reason why I think this is relevant.
Slap on the wrist.
The reason why I think this is relevant is because, once again, these people are not activists. These people are not political scientists. They may, maybe they might have our best interest at heart, but they're just not correct in doing it. And they don't really need to be at the forefront of any movements, because these are the type of things that they're getting into on the side. I mean, a lot of people got ripped off with this shit. A lot of his followers are black, and a lot of people bought into this coin because they're thinking that they're going to get some type of financial freedom by listening to T.I. buying this bullshit ass coin. They bought it,
so
they wasted their money.
So what you're saying is Ice Cube is T.I.?
I'm not saying Ice Cube is T.I. All right,
I was checking.
But I will say this. That land shit in Scotland that Ice Cube was selling was definitely some bullshit. So all I'm saying is just be mindful of the people.
He's lord of his land.
It's like 10 square feet. It's 10 square feet of land.
He the lord, though.
That's
why. The Scottish government already came out and said, we are not honoring any dubious lords.
He's a Scottish lord.
They ain't got to honor it.
He's the lord of that land.
They illegitimate.
First of all, why do you want to be a Scottish lord?
Why not?
Why?
Why not?
Have you guys seen the video?
You got a reverse.
I didn't get it
reverse,
either.
It's reverse colonization.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay. But you still paying them.
Why not?
You still paying them.
So lose-lose to get it.
For now.
Back to T.I.
For now.
But anyway.
What did he do?
T.I., Ice Cube, all of these niggas. Like, I'm just saying, just be careful. All these niggas. Be careful who your activist is, man. You know, they have no background in anything political or anything dealing with the economy, then I would just support their music. You know what I mean? And keep it moving.
You know what? I'm going to say this. We're podcasters, right? And I want you to listen to my political opinion, right? So
I'm not a rapper, but
what do we have, or our credibility is more than a rapper, right? We have an educated opinion that we want to give to the public. Right?
I can tell you one thing.
Hold on. Before you say anything, because I want to piggyback on this.
Yes.
This is the main point of why I be trying to understand why he's always so dismissive of people who we haven't necessarily clarified be suspect. Like, yeah, they might be suspect, but suspect is just a suspicion. It don't mean that they're actually like on
that
other side yet.
That's his stick.
And here's the thing. If I let's say I had some type of like backing out of nowhere and was like all the causes, you know, that I've represented, so on and so forth, seem to be like solid. You mess with it, right? I'm not going to change that if I suddenly got some bread. But if I suddenly got some bread, what I stand behind and what I'm trying to accomplish might not. There's a big gap between that, because you got to recognize there's a place where you're trying to get. There's a dream, there's a reality, and there's a gap in between there, right? So knowing that that gap exists, I wouldn't want somebody to think that just because I ain't there yet, I'm not going to get there, or I'm not trying to get there, or I'm like not even for my people, because in between that gap, there's some shady shit going on, because I might have taken this wrong deal or that wrong deal, not even taking no wrong deal. You just might think it's the wrong deal because you don't know enough about the goddamn deal.
You know, hey,
I'd like to respond.
What? Hypocrisy.
Yeah. So, Kurt.
So,
Kurt.
Give your response. Let's hear your response. Hypocrisy
so,
today.
Now, let me ask you this.
Right now.
You.
When you about to say something about me, understand that you also don't know these niggas before they get that bread that you talking about.
Listen,
or any of these
other
things.
Hear me out. You've shared a lot of different YouTube videos with me. A lot of them strongly based in conspiracy.
Mm-hmm.
So you know about the conspiracies surrounding Hollywood and all of this shit, right? Now, the reason why I look at a lot of these rappers and entertainers a little sideways is because of who cuts their paychecks. Okay? The reason why I would listen to you over Ice Cube is because you don't get a paycheck
from the conspiracy nigga.
You don't get a paycheck from the Hollywood elites. You don't get a paycheck from big name record labels. You don't have any ties to those type of people. So understand, when Ice Cube speaks to black people, he still got to protect his ties to the elites. Who, it's, if we succeed, they fail. So why would Ice Cube really be leading us in the right direction? Why would T.I. really be leading us in the right direction?
So where do you consider the elite? I want to give you an example.
T.I. owes these people his life.
Where do you consider the elite? So like if Apple gave us a check tomorrow, you wouldn't take it? Do you not consider Apple one of those elites that you're like?
It depends on the circumstance behind the check. Depends on what the circumstances behind the check. I'm not a fool. If Apple said, I'll give you $10 million to do Straight Talk, No Chase, nigga, we taking that $10
million. They're going to keep doing it.
So would that invalidate your opinion?
Moral.
Because you're getting paid by the elites?
And that's what I'm saying. There might be certain things that they say you can no longer say on Straight Talk, No Chase with this $10 million. You going to say those things and not take the $10
million? I'm going to tell y'all right now.
I'm not going to say it no more and take the $10 million.
I'm going to tell you right now. Apple cuts me a $10 million check tomorrow.
And says you can't say A, B,
don't
and
listen
C.
to shit else I say. Don't listen to me. Don't listen to shit else I say.
That's not so real. I understand. Okay.
At least you sold that one integrity.
But see, here's the thing, though. Here's the thing, right? Ice Cube doesn't have to jump in this situation. He doesn't have to.
Yeah.
He doesn't. He could be quiet and he could secretly donate to people who really could make a difference. He could do that.
What if you do both?
So doing both contradicts itself, because what he's doing and what T.I. is doing is not really on par with what our experts are saying should happen. Okay? They're coming up with their own little thing. And see, and all of this is really about the influx of black folks who are now waking up and seeing that this political system is flawed on both sides. So all the little celebrity ideas and activists that's popping up out of nowhere are being sent to combat that.
I feel like Ice Cube, though, is literally saying, don't give your vote away to either side.
He is saying that. He is saying
that. Don't sound like that's co-opted. That sounds like that's what you're trying to do, too.
But see.
He just ain't doing it the way you're trying to do it.
But you can't.
Everybody not
hold on, hold on. And Kirk, I hear you there. So I'm not going to throw Ice Cube all the way in the trash. I'm not going to throw him all the way in the trash. But I will say that there are some severe mistakes in his contract for Black America. He should rescind it, consult with the experts, and then reintroduce it to the public. I'll say that.
So why I respect?
You can't have a contract for Black America with Native Americans in it, because they don't have shit to do with us.
Well, I say this. I think Ice Cube plan needs some adjusting, but I respect Ice Cube and I will never shit on him. Just like I don't believe Charlamagne should be interfering in Joe Budden's business for the same reason. He shot his shot. He can readjust, he can learn, but he's actually taking action, right? He's doing something that he didn't have to do. He's rich enough to just sit back. Like if he didn't make another deal, movie, nothing, he's good, and two generations is good of his family. But he feels he's called to make a difference with black people.
I'm going to tell you also why you
say you can't make a contract with black America and include Native Americans and dispel that real quick. I'm not even going to dispel it from a perspective that you're wrong. I'm going to just say, like, let's also put myself in Ice Cube shoes as someone who, after literally my last day of working in corporate America, the very next day I took a trip to South Dakota, went on Native American reservations, all that good stuff, met with these people, talked to these people, so on and so forth. I would make a contract that excluded them, but I could also understand making one that included them, because when you're talking about going up against this government, which is what you're talking about doing as far as us getting the things that we have rightfully earned, they could also play, the more the merrier.
Okay.
At the end of the day.
So let me answer
without
that.
Going too deep, the more the merrier, and you understand what I'm trying to say.
It's raining.
I know it was coming.
They don't have to get what we're getting. We can say Black Americans should get A, B, and C. Native Americans should get A and B. We have different plights, so we can't be fighting for the same thing. I think they also understand that. I think instead of saying all these different areas are divisive and divided and let's stop trying to like cater to them and whatever, whatever. We should find the middle ground and the mutual ground of all these areas and fight against that one thing that we're all trying to go against, because they fucked all of us over. Okay. Even though they fucked us all over differently, so, and we do have the worst of that flight that, like you already know and say every week.
So here's what it is, though. The Native Americans are in lobbying in court and in Congress every day to get things that they're owed. A lot of times
without worrying about us.
And they do not include black, as a matter of
fact. So I think we should do the same civil, thing, but I think we should also combine what we're trying to do.
No. The Treaty of 1866, right, says that the Native Americans are supposed to break us off the shit that they got post-Reconstruction. It's black people that were descendants of slaves that were enslaved by Indian tribes fighting for what they deserve from these people every day, and they're being denied. I just posted an article on my Facebook page the other day about how the Cherokee Nation is denying the black descendants of the Cherokee Nation, who descended of the slaves that they owned, access to the tribal benefits that they deserve. Like, these people don't fuck with us. I want to make that clear. They don't fuck with us.
You make it clear.
So what I'm saying is, I'm not out here to play kumbaya and hold hands with a bunch of people who ride our backs and take from us and don't give back. Those days are over. So what I'm saying about Ice Cube is, no disrespect to him, I'm just saying he doesn't really understand the scope of what he's trying to accomplish right now. He doesn't understand how important it is to separate ourselves as black Americans when it comes to politics and benefits, because these are things that we're owed, and these are things that other people take advantage of us for. Everybody's got their hand in the pot when they're handing out benefits based on the things that were gained in the Civil Rights Act. But when it comes to us, you know, or when it comes to these other groups getting things set aside for them, they don't include us. They don't include us at all. Latinos don't include us. Asians don't include us. Indian Americans don't include us. Native Americans don't include us. So all I'm saying is, we don't have to include them. And it's no love lost. I can still go be friends with a Native American at the same time, just politically, you know, stay the fuck out my face.
I think it's I agree with you, and it's high time for black people to stop being the moral compass of America.
Facts.
And trying to save everyone else, because I can't dispute that when it's time for us to be advocated for in a significant way, not just lip service, not just walk down the street with us, but real policy, real boots on the ground, real tangible things, a lot of people are missing. It's good to see a lot more people this year in coronavirus, because people ain't got shit to do.
Yeah.
But historically, they have not shown up for us how we showed up for everyone else, from the Women's March to the whatever ever march that was. Black people were the moral compass and moral leaders of these marches. And Martin Luther King talked about this a lot, of black people being the moral compass of the U.S. And once they decided that they really didn't want anything to do with us, the U.S. would fall, because we were keeping this country on the right path. We were keeping this country afloat. And once they decide that they don't need us anymore, this country is going to fail.
I mean, you don't even have barbecue without black. Yeah. Like, you don't have the basic
thing. I agree 100%. And I'm not even, I'm still, I mean, I feel the same way. I feel neither here nor there. I'm saying, like, I disagree, but I'm just saying, like, I feel you. I think we should approach it from a perspective of we're trying to get it ourselves as well, because everybody else is trying to get it themselves and they don't include us. But I do think you put more pressure on that government in general when you find, when they see that you have more backing. And the more people that you find, and more, not even people, the more things you find in common, the more backing you have, because the more people want to fight for your cause, the same way you want to fight for theirs, so on and so forth.
I hear you.
Y'all tired of fighting for their cause. I get all of that, so on and so forth. Even piggybacking on what you just said, it seems like there's more people who are paying more attention because of COVID and so on and so forth. I don't want to like change topics, but this also brings me to the point that like football started this week. And the one thing that distracts niggas more than anything, it's football.
I didn't watch one game.
I'm tired.
I
like,
saw some of the,
I'm tired of fucking the of the day, this coalition shit, right? Because we got the numbers. If we really think about, and this kind of goes back
it's
to
the so
conversation
wild,
of
right?
last week, like we have numbers.
With
and
or
if,
without these.
Yeah, and if we really just focus on ourselves, we don't need coalitions of other people. We don't need coalitions with this group, that group, or whatever group. But we have to have self-confidence, right? as black people, we need to be confident enough that we are enough. We deserve what we deserve, and we need to get what we deserve. And I think that is the thing that's holding us back in our community is our self-confidence, right? Because we're beaten down from a young age to understand that, okay, we're not enough. We don't belong. We don't have a seat at the table. When we really do, we built the table. So the awareness of our self-confidence and our self-worth needs to be